It was 12 weeks ago that we kicked off our Wednesday night series in the Apostles' Creed called Believing a Better Story. Every one of us woke up in a world today, a world that is a certain way. Like, it is beautiful. It's a world full of love, music, and poetry, of Lake Champlain sunsets and butter croissants at August 1st and the like. I mean, it is a beautiful world. But it's broken, to be sure. It's also a world where Palestinian students are shot on my street. And people are overdosing on drugs in City Hall Park. And there's rape on this campus and war overseas. Like, it is a beautiful and broken world. But how do we make sense of that? How do we make sense of the beauty and the brokenness that we live with and experience every single day? How do we make sense of the intuition that the world is not the way it's supposed to be? That it has gone wrong somehow, but also this deep-seated belief that it can be righted. Like, how do we make sense of that? Why do we wake up feeling that our lives matter and other people's lives matter and that what we do with our choices matter? Again, how do we make sense of that? The world is a certain way and we experience it a certain way, and we have a bunch of stories out there that are promising to explain why it is the way that it is. You have the Christian story, you have the Buddhist story, you have the Muslim story, you have the Jewish story, all the way down the line, including like this modern secular story, which isn't the absence of belief, it's just the presence of a new set of beliefs. But there is no God, there is no heaven or hell. That our origin is meaningless and history is heading nowhere. So just do whatever makes you feel good in this present here and now. This might be the most popular story on this campus, but it is not necessarily the right one. It doesn't do the best job of making sense of the world that we woke up in today. Right? This world that is full of beauty and brokenness and longing and hope. Again, this world in which people matter and our actions do too. Like, that is the world we live in, friends. And I don't think that story does the best job explaining it. I think there's a better story out there, a story that makes more sense. And all semester long, we've been exploring that story together. It's the story that the Bible tells, that the Creed summarizes, and that Jesus is calling us to repent and believe in Mark 1, 14 to 15. You have that passage there for you on your handout. You might recall it. This is the very first thing that we looked at this semester. The very first thing that we hear Jesus say in the Gospel of Mark is the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent, which means to turn around and believe the good news. You realize, don't you, that what Jesus is offering you is not good advice. Jesus is coming to you and he's offering you a better story. Not good advice, but good news. And he is telling you that if you are to find your life and not waste it, you need to turn away from all the other false narratives that are out there in the world. To turn away from them and to step into this one. Right? To believe and start to be living into this better story. That's his invitation. And each week this semester, we looked at this Jesus-shaped story line by line, sort of appreciating its beauty up close. But tonight I want to stand back and not like look at it like line by line, like really up close. I want to stand back and I just want to survey it quickly with you as a whole to see sort of like the beauty of it all. As a whole. You see in the Creed, it begins with this word, like, I believe in God, because the Christian story begins with God. He is there before all things. The reason why there's any story is because he really is, in a cosmic sense, the greatest storyteller. Like, he speaks everything into existence. The reason why there's anything at all is because he has spoken. Right? We are in a play, as it were, but we are not the main characters. We are not the author, like he is. It's his story. And as we said, right, history sounds like his story because it is. Right? We are part of his story. God is not a genie that we're like calling or summoning into our lives to be like, help me with my things, right? He's not sort of entering into our lives or our stories to help us sort of actualize ourselves. We are part of his story. And if our lives to work right is to figure out how do we fit in the greater drama that he is a part of and that he is authoring. You catch the drift? You catch the difference? I believe in God. The world we woke up in today is a world full of beauty and delight. And it is this way because it's not some freak accident, but it is the handiwork of God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Like, God did not have to make this world. He wanted to. And he wanted to make it because he wanted us to know him and to experience his love. The good and the beautiful things in your life are not an illusion, and they're not some random happenstance, but they are evidences of God and of his goodness. Repenting and believing in this story means living a life full of gratitude for those things and a life full of wonder. The world we woke up in today is beautiful, but it is also profoundly broken. One time, Willa was doing a craft in the basement. She was doing some stuff with paint, and she spilled paint all over herself. And in her efforts to try to like clean it up, she started applying, like paint just sort of multiplied. It started to kind of go everywhere. Rather than like cleaning it up, like the mess multiplied. That's us in a nutshell. Like, we have turned our backs on God. We've put ourselves where only God should be, sort of at the center of all things. And we've made a mess of things. And in our own efforts to fix them, we often make matters worse. And that is why we need a rescuer, someone from the outside in, someone who's not covered in paint, who can actually clean us up. Fortunately, God so loved the world that he gave us his Son, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. The incarnation of Jesus shows that the great life is not one of grandstanding, but of humble and sacrificial love. If you want to live a truly great life, you don't have to make a name for yourself. You can become like Jesus, who, though he was truly somebody, in some effect became a nobody and lived a life of humble, sacrificial love. That's true greatness. But in the next line in the Creed shows, he's not afraid to move towards our pain, our suffering, or our mess to make us well again. He suffers and he dies, and he even experiences hell. So we don't have to. Repenting and believing in this story means living a life, as I said, of humble, sacrificial love. But it's also a life full of compassion and courage. It's a life devoted to redemption and beauty coming out of brokenness. Because Jesus lived a perfect, sinless life, he could atone for our sins. And because he lived a perfect, sinless life, death had no claim on him. He is the only one who earned the right to live with God the Father forever and ever, which is why 3 days after he died, his tomb was empty. And the disciples who were cowardly denying him on Friday became some of the bravest evangelists the world has ever known. Repenting and believing in the resurrection means having courage in the face of death, as well as an unshakable joy as you go through this life. Jesus not only conquered the grave, but he ascended to the Father and he seated on his throne. From his throne, he rules over all things, and he is sovereignly and providentially steering history to its proper end. And because of this, we can be steady even when the world is shaky. Repenting and believing in the story that Jesus tells means we will have ample resources to be a non-anxious presence in the midst of a noisy, chaotic, and scary world. Because Jesus will come again to judge the living and the dead, we can pursue justice without having to exact revenge. We can, as we even did tonight, pray for our enemies. Believing in the Holy Spirit means that the world is a far more fascinating and mysterious place than our science textbooks would have us believe. I am not knocking science. I love it. I think it's a great thing. It can teach us many things. It just can't teach us everything. We need open eyes as much as we need open ears. Repenting and believing in the story that Jesus tells means that we are going to be people who grasp more of reality not less. It means we'll be more open-minded and not closed. I don't know if you know the show Bluey. It's a fantastic kid show about like a blue tick healer dog, Bluey with her sister Bingo. Season 3, and this is evidence that I've got an 8-year-old and an 18-month-old at home. There's a great episode where they're, you know, joking with the dad like about being born yesterday. And the dad pretends with his kids as if he was born yesterday. And it's a beautiful episode because he's going through the world as an adult with newfound wonder. And the scripture talks about our need to be reborn of the Holy Spirit. In some ways to be born like yesterday. And it doesn't mean that we turn our brains off. In some ways, it means that we're turning it on again in a new way and being able to apprehend the world with childlike wonder. There's a great scene where he holds up a leaf and he doesn't just see a leaf, he sees all of its veins. And what we all do, and we just sort of blindly pass by, if we actually slow down enough to actually pay attention, which the Holy Spirit helps us to do, we would see more, like I said, and not less of reality. That's beautiful. Modern life is lonely. And when we go looking for community, we're often looking for people who look and think and talk just like us. But God, in his goodness and grace, he calls us to himself, but he also calls us into a special kind of community called the church. And repenting and believing means that we will belong to one. It means that our life will be filled with diverse relationships and friendships. The church brings you into contact with people that you would not necessarily choose for yourself, but God in his kindness has chosen for you to live beside and to learn to love and to learn how to be loved by. Like family, sometimes these are people that you're stuck with. But in sticking with them, you grow. And you grow in love and you grow in patience and you grow in Christ-like character. Right? It's here in this context that you find life-enhancing and horizon-broadening joy. We live in a world where if somebody crosses you, you cancel them. And people get defined by their sins. But repenting and believing in this story yields an altogether kind of a life. A life that is marked by mercy and grace. Forgiveness does not preclude the work of justice, but it also leaves the door open for repentance and for redemption. Finally, the promise of the resurrection of the body and life everlasting imbues all of our life with hope. Not optimism, which is a fake hope, some sort of like rose-tinted glasses, pretending the world is better than it actually is. I'm not talking about that at all. I think that's garbage. I'm talking about hope, which is wide-eyed realism that takes seriously the brokenness of the world, but also takes seriously the empty tomb and Jesus' resurrection from the grave and all of God's promises, which are true. And yes, and amen in Jesus. I'm saying take it all in. And what you get is hope. Franley, who was a deaf student who was here a couple of weeks ago. He was here and we had, if you recall, if you were here that night, there were two women who were helping translate what I was saying into sign language. We got to see signs for Jesus, which I learned like is the sign. It's like, this is the sign for Jesus. It's like two nails going into the hand for salvation. It's like breaking chains. But also amen, which is like, yes, stamping a seal. This is true. You ask, you're supposed to do it with a nod. Amen, right? The end of all this, right? That is what we say. We say amen to Jesus, who is God's amen to us. All of this is true. The God who spoke the universe into existence will say to us in our grave, honey, it's time to wake up. The one who has the power to make it also has the power to remake it and to make all things new. And this is his promise, and God has never broken a single one. I want to close this semester in this series with this illustration. I want you to imagine that you are part of an orchestra. There's a song being played all around you, and you're sitting there and you're holding an instrument, and you are told to join the song and to play your part well. This is a little intimidating because you don't have sheet music in front of you. So you ask, what is the song that's being played? Now, some sheet music is put before you and they tell you, here you go, play this. If you play what you've been given and the sheet music matches actually the song that's going on all around you, your contribution will fit. You'll hit the notes right and at the right time, and it will be harmonious. Your life will sing. But what if the sheet music that you've been given does not line up with the song that is going all around you? What then? What if the song all around you is going 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, but you've been given sheet music that is on this time measure, ba-bump, 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 right? If you follow the sheet music, you are going to be offbeat, you're going to be off key, and the music that is coming out of your life is going to sound discordant and awful. What I've just told you is not a make-believe story. This is your story. It's my story. We woke up in the world today, and a song, as it were, is being played all around us. It is a certain way. And you are here. You've been given an instrument. It is your life, and you are to play it well. But in order to do that, you need the right sheet music. You need the right story. Matching the sheet music to the song out there matters, friends, because what we believe about the world shapes how we live in it. The Christian life is a beautiful life because it is rooted in a truer and better story. When you start living and playing your life according to this sheet music, the story that the Bible tells, the sheet music of the Apostles' Creed, the sheet music of Jesus' story, you will discover that you are living in tune with reality. That you are in step 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. And you will have a life that sings. You will be able to hit the high notes and the low ones and everything in between. And you will be part of a song that goes on forever. For thousands of years, followers of Jesus have been asked this question, Christian, what do you believe? And we have not recited it out loud. But if you have heard this story and you have come to believe it, or you know its beauty, I want to give you the chance right now, as the last thing that we'll do as part of the series. I want to give you the chance to just say it out loud with me. Christian, what do you believe? You can follow along. This is true for you. I believe in God, the Father Almighty. Join your voices with mine if this is true of you. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.